Jesus didn't have a problem with people that's in the streets. He had a problem with religious people.
How can I help anybody when I'm not even, when I was not even able to help my own son?
I would never do that. I would never do that. And I became that in a matter of minutes when they took my pain pills away.
And I said, I'm not where I want to be, but thank God I'm not what I used to be.
Ugh. This is Faith in Your Recovery. I am Randy Davis. Welcome to the battle. Just kind of move on from here to our next episode. Zach, are you on with us?
Yes, sir.
Hey, awesome. Good to have you. Thanks. You want to say hi to your wife?
You did a good job, babe. I'm proud of you.
Oh, thank you.
Zach is actually in another room due to our setup. We've had to do it this way, but they're here physically.
Yeah, I'm backstage right now.
All right. All right. And what a... Understand, folks, this is going to be pretty much in their hands because we're going to talk about a subject we don't often get to talk about, relationships and recovery, relationships and addiction. I remember 10 years ago when I began all of this, most of the time they were dead set against a relationship moving toward recovery because it was the attitude that one will bring the other one down. They won't move at the same pace and it's going to hurt somebody or destroy them both. Today, things are a little bit different. We're thankful for that and it doesn't matter. We're going to find out what it's been about for them, what it's been like, this recovery journey together. Let me throw out this question to begin with here, okay? What is the one thing, this is kind of general and maybe should be asked later, but what is the one thing that's allowed you guys to maintain recovery and relationship? I know the first answer is Jesus. I get that. What is it that you guys have done? So since we're not in the same room, we could end up talking over each other a little bit. We'll forgive ourselves for that ahead of time. So one of you attack that, whoever wants to.
Okay, I would say that we both just have a hunger for recovery. We both want it more than we want anything. And, you know, Daniel talked about earlier that our kids being in foster care was like our rock bottom. And so I feel like, obviously, we put Jesus first. We put God first in our relationship. But our kids are high up there on our priority list, you know. So, like, but above anything, we have to be clean and we have to be sober to be there for him, for them, and parent them good.
Mm-hmm. You want to add to that anything, Dania?
Yeah, no, he's right. But I also love him. He is my best friend. And I don't want to ever have to see him the way that he used to be.
How long have you guys been together? How long have you been in relationship?
So we've been married for 4 to 5 years, but I mean, we have known each other and like played with the idea of being together for close to 10.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, we met at Milestone in, I would think, 2012 or 13. Oh, 2014. Okay.
So we're talking about 10, 11 years there. Okay.
Yep. And right when I had met Zach, he had just lost his son. He was with a sweet, sweet girl. And they lost their son. He was 6 weeks old. So I met Zach at a really terrible time, and we were in class together. That's basically where we started, right? Was both really struggling, but he was definitely not ready. Definitely not ready. But I mean, neither was I, but he really wasn't ready. And so And so when I got into drug court, my PO would not allow me to take Zach to meetings with me. He wasn't allowed to ride in my car with me. He was in drug court too. But how long were you in there, babe? Like 2 months, something like that?
Maybe four.
Oh, okay. Maybe 4 months. But yeah, I was doing
being
so
generous.
Yeah, I was doing so well, and he was not, and they wouldn't even allow us to be in the same car together. So
which was probably for the best, though. Because,
yeah, true.
Randy, you talking about earlier, like two addicts in a relationship can
yes.
bring each other down and stuff. That's very much true. Like it's you know, it happens all the time. People try to be in recovery in a relationship and one is not ready, one is ready, or they're both not really ready or whatever, but that's a very common thing, you know, because when your partner falls off and goes back to using, that's just like the perfect justification for you to go back to using. Or
yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And I don't suggest being in a relationship. They talk about the first year of recovery. I always tell my girls at Lotus, right? Like if you are actually working a program, if you are actually listening to therapy and changing the way that you think and changing the way that you live your life, you are going to be so different even at the 12-month mark, right? You are going to be so different from where you were when you started on this journey that you will never accept the same things that you once accepted at mark, you know, month 12. And I don't suggest getting in a relationship. I suggest taking at least the first year and finding who you are again, finding out what makes you happy, finding out what you enjoy doing again. And it takes way longer than a year to find your place in the world again. And I don't suggest being in a relationship.
I would think at the start, you've got to be, for lack of better terms, married to your recovery.
Absolutely.
That first year, that it's got to be your best friend. It's got to be your greatest commitment. And mm-hmm. then once we start to find that journey that we've been hunting for, then I'm thinking that we can give up a little bit here and a little bit there and include other things as well.
Yep.
And round it all out. A question kind of awkward to ask, but Dania, have you seen that recovery is different for a gal than it is for a guy? I ask that because you guys have been together, so you've seen how Zach needs to respond, act, behave, etc. in you. Is there a difference in that?
Zach is the leader. He is the leader of our home. Even though I am 7 years older than him, but he's still the leader in our home. He leads our family day to day. And so I even though I had more recovery under my belt than what Zach did, he also listened to me, but he was really the leader in getting us back into church and forming my relationship with Jesus again, or not forcing it, but encouraging it. But yes, there's a huge difference between men and women in recovery. I see it every day. Women have, how can I say this without upsetting women? I'm just going to say it. So women are able to live off of men a lot, right? And so when women get into recovery, they're not, a lot of them aren't used to working. I'm not going to say all, a lot are not used to working. They're not, we depend on men a lot is what I want to say. We depend on men. We depend on men for rides, for money, for lots of things. Women have so much harder of a time finding employment, having vehicles in recovery. Riley and I talk about that often. There's a lot of difference between men and women, even fighting the same battle. There's a lot of difference.
Zach, give us your thoughts on all that, please.
Yeah, I feel like I can agree with what Daniel's saying. It is a lot different, but I feel like, you know, especially for me and like other men that's been in my situation, like I was institutionalized. So my thought process and the way that I react to certain things, you know, is a lot different. So I feel like coming to the point where you're able to like love others and be kind and kind of let your guard down a little bit, I think was hard for me, you know, and is hard for some of the men that come from that situation.
You were forced to live a hard life, and you couldn't show a soft side during those times. And I'm going to guess that almost makes all of that calloused over a period of time. And you got to break through that in order to get back to the, it's okay to be soft side. So I'm sure there are many changes. What have been some of the negative dynamics of trying to journey through recovery together?
I feel like, you know, we've had to show each other a lot of grace because we was best friends before we were married and together. But, you know, I knew Daniel when she was clean, but Daniel had never known me clean. So I guess I was the one that really needed showing some grace. But it was just a learning curve. Like, we already knew each other so well, but it was kind of like relearning each other. You know, I mean, the foundation is there, but we're learning each other sober. And somebody that's clean and somebody that's unclean, you know, is two different people. And so we've just had to show each other a lot of grace.
Zach was always worried that I wouldn't like him clean. He asked me numerous times, like, are you going to like the person that I am when I'm totally different, when we do have a different life? Because we would talk about it, you know, while we were using, like, he was so attracted to me while I was clean because I was doing the right thing. And he seen what I was doing every day, right? And so he was attracted to that. But I, on the other hand, have always been attracted to bad boys, I would say. That's so embarrassing to say, but it's true. It's true. Because it's the total opposite of what I was, right? It was exciting. It was fun. It was...
What you've shared with us points to that. Okay. And I say that kindly.
It's true.
What you've told us, yeah.
Yeah, it's true. And just even the way that my husband looks, I found it exciting, like in all the things, right? But that was one thing he worried about was... if I would like him.
I remember early on in our meetings, there was a couple coming to a meeting, and I'll never forget her standing up one time and confessing that before they got married, they were both using. They had been married like 3 or 4 or 5 years. I don't remember. They had never known each other sober and clean.
Yeah.
And they didn't know how that was going to play out when they got to that point.
Mm-hmm.
Happily, I can assure you they're still together today. Aww. And they're doing well. So it can happen.
That's amazing.
That's for sure.
I knew that I would love him clean and doing the right thing. That was the odor that I've got. That's more attractive to me, right? Him being a hard worker and... providing for our family and learning things like that he's never done before, you know, learning how to fix our house and learning how to run water lines in our house, right? Like those are the things that are attractive, that he's willing to get his hair dirty today, because when I first met him, that was not something that he was willing to do. But
I'm only halfway willing now.
I'd like the opportunity to get my hair dirty. All right. Whatever. But so what are some of the misconceptions that you guys have had to deal with as a couple? Expectations from other folks that haven't been real.
I mean, I could guess, like, you know, people that's known us in the past when I was selling dope and then move around without guns on me and robbing and whatever it may be. And, you know, Daniel right there with me, I feel like people for a long time expected that of us. So when we was first starting to get clean, you know, people would reach out and still be trying to like deal with me in that way, or they would feel like that we was just trying to get out of trouble and we didn't really want to be clean and we would go back to that life, or just those type of things, or stereotypical things like people following me around the gas station, it's only four aisles, thinking I'm stealing, or, you know, things like that.
You want to add anything?
Yeah, that really upsets me when that happens, because my husband would never steal, right? And looking at him, I guess people think and assume that he would, and...
just not the way it is.
No.
Form those opinions, and... It's hard.
It hurts me. He says, you know, that it doesn't... that it doesn't affect him. Well, it darn sure affects me. It really upsets me when somebody looks at him or stares at him and gives him a dirty look because of the way that he looks. And it's happened so many times. He invited someone to, babe, remember when you invited the guy at the gas station to something for church and he like threw that paper at you at the gas station and was like, I don't want what you're selling. And you're like, no, sir, I'm not trying to sell you anything. You know, I was just inviting you to church. And things like that happen all the time. Or, you know, people will just dismiss him because of the way that he looks. And my husband is the most gentle, most kindest, sweetest human being that you could ever meet in your entire life. And
the old adage of don't judge a book by its cover.
Yeah.
The old adage in the scriptures that man looks on the outer person, God looks on the inner. You're talking about Zach in both ways there.
Mm-hmm.
You see how people form that opinion. And
I
then
do.
You know that it's extremely wrong because you know who he is and what he's about.
Yeah, I've always known who he is. You know, when we met 10 years ago, I always knew the kind, sweet human being that he was, but no one else knew him. You know, I knew that he could be the man that he is today. I've always known it. I never doubted that, ever.
You know what? I like that idea, and I think it parallels with God. He looks at our possibilities, not our problems.
That's right.
He looks at our future, not our past. It's not about that. Do you guys very often reflect on the people you were 15 years ago? Do you guys sit and talk about that much? Or is that just kind of, we're new and that's behind us?
We don't talk about it a lot, but I mean, we have, and, or like certain things, we'll remember certain things or talk about certain memories, but it's almost, to me, I don't know how it is for Daniel, but for me, it's almost like when I look back at those memories, it's almost like a movie, because I'm so far separated from who I was then.
Yeah.
That it's like, for me to think it was me that was the one doing those things, it doesn't make sense. You know what I mean? So it's almost like looking back at a whole nother life.
I like that idea of it being like a movie. Several people that have been in your seats here for the interview have referred to their former life that way. It's so distant
so
now
that
they don't even feel much of the emotion or that connection when it is brought up or when it is talked about. What's the advice that the two of you would give to somebody who's going in to recovery and a relationship? The guy and the gal are going into it together. What would you tell them? Some of the cautions, the joys, whatever it may be.
I would say, you know, that it takes a lot of hard work, and not just hard work on the relationship. You know, in the beginning, to show each other grace and allow your partner to work on their self while you work on yourself, because that's what is going to make the relationship great. If you allow each other space. To relearn yourself and work on yourself to be better for your partner.
That's Zach, true. You have more than once mentioned this idea. You call it grace, and I believe in grace by all means, but it's kind of a give and take thing. You know, give me a little space to where I can work on mine, and I'll give you the grace to give you space to work on yours.
Absolutely.
You can't do it for each other, obviously.
No, definitely not. We live recovery together, but also separately, right? On Mondays, he knows that the Lotus House is where I'm going, no matter what, right? Monday evenings, like he knows that, and he gives me the space to be able to do that. He doesn't get upset when my phone rings at 10 p.m. at night if someone needs something. He doesn't get upset if it doesn't matter who, you know, reaches out to me. And if they're looking for help, it doesn't matter who it is, you know, he'll be right there to help them as well. And so I find that that's really empowering.
I smile as you share that, Dania, because I've been in ministry over 40 years. My wife, you could not ask for somebody more supportive.
Yeah.
And supportive in the respect that when it was active pulpit/church ministry, if the phone rang at 2 a.m. because somebody was in an accident or whatever the case may have been, she had my clothes out before I could get off the phone.
Yeah.
And no questions asked. Go, be safe. Love you. Bye.
Yeah, that's exactly it. No questions asked. I trust Zachary with my life, right? And I truly mean that. Life is so good with him. With you, Zachary, I love you so much, and you are my best friend, and I will always support you in what you need. And we do have two separate lives, and we do miss each other at the end of the day. Sometimes I don't get home until 10 p.m. at night. Sometimes he doesn't get home until, 9 o'clock at night. But the thing is that when we do get home, it is so nice to be able to be together and have our family together. Yep. And it's so easy. Zach, you said I forget the words you used, but it's easy for me to be with you, right? You said the relationship is hard work, but I don't really tend to agree with that. I think it's not hard work for me to love you. It's never been hard to love you, right? It's not hard work to be together. And so I say that if you have to work really, really, really hard to be with somebody, it's probably not the right somebody for you, because it's not hard when you love someone and they're your best friend. And I think that that's the secret to life. You find your best friend in this world and you love them as hard and unconditionally as you can, and put God right in the center and go full force.
I think you've got to make that partner priority.
Yeah.
Now, that doesn't mean every moment you're doing with them or for them, but in the moments where you can, indeed you do.
Correct.
And that can be hard, especially in a people business like you folks are in, because you're getting that call. You're being pulled here or there, that you've got to mark that time. For years when I was in ministry, the only Friday nights I would give up would be for wedding rehearsals or a funeral. Otherwise, that was our date night.
Yeah.
I'll talk to you on the phone. I'll give you a call. But unless it's extremely critical, I'm not going to respond. And folks knew that, and my wife knew that if I was going, there was a reason I was going.
Sure.
But we gave ourselves that time. That was hard to do, to make that choice at times.
Yeah, and we still have really little girls, too, right? And so much of our time is on them when we're not. So
that's a different game in and of itself when kids are involved, okay?
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
So
I kind of I want to go back to where you was talking about hard work. I feel like our relationship is really very easy, because I love you with all my heart. And
I think that's called a threat.
I think so too, Randy. I'm gonna show you some grace on that.
All right.
But so what I think what I meant was the recovery together is gonna be hard work, because there's gonna be days that you know, that one half of the couple is triggered by something and maybe the other partner isn't, you know, and it's back and forth with that. So it's going to be hard work to navigate that relationship. Like, if I feel like we didn't run into that a lot, I feel like we have different triggers, but we have a lot of the same triggers. And, you know, we just was open and honest with each other and talked about them so that we could know how to deal with them and how to avoid them. But that is a really big part of, you know, that hard work in a relationship, a recovery relationship, because you have to understand and know that about each other. And, you know, maybe something that one person does is a trigger to their partner. Or if both partners are not strong, you know, one has to be strong when the other one's weak to kind of make up for that. So I think that's kind of what I meant about the hard work.
Yeah,
not
I agree
necessarily
with that.
About the relationship, but about the recovery together.
And, and you know, Zach, as I've stated before, I don't come from an addiction background, and my wife and I over the 53 years have had that same struggle. There are things that trigger my anger or frustration or blood pressure or whatever, and it's a job sometimes to hold on to it, to become accountable for it, to deal with it instead of taking it out with an apathetic attitude or something else. What I think I've kind of reached the end of my questions here. I told you guys earlier I was going to count on you. What else do you want to share? I'm sure you guys have talked a little bit about this over the years and recently since we made this commitment. What else do you want to share? Do you think folks need to know about recovery during relationship?
Well, I know that I can speak for, you know, any relationship, not even just a recovery relationship, but you know, God, Jesus has to be at the center of it. You have to, that's where your foundation has to be. If you can, if you biblically love each other and hold those values for each other, you know, your relationship is going to succeed. So
and there is scripture that talks about when he's priority, everything else falls into order.
Like Jesus talks about, you know, building your foundation on the rock. You know, God, Jesus has to be that rock in your relationship.
Yeah,
absolutely.
And I think that's why it has been so easy for us, Zach, honestly, and having, you know, a successful marriage and being successful in recovery, because from the very start, you put Jesus in it. Right. When you're listening to all of those podcasts and the whole and calling me and telling me all about Elevation Worship and Elevation Church and
I was preaching to you on the jail phone.
Yeah, he was. Yes, that's true. I paid a lot of money for those for him to preach to me constantly. But I needed it. Right. But it was kind of stirring something up in me then. And I hoped that it wasn't just all talk. It wasn't.
It's obvious to me. I can assure you that. Yeah. You guys wouldn't be where you're at today if it was just lip service.
That's right. Yeah. It definitely, like I said earlier, you know, he's the man. And he led our family to Jesus. And again, we dedicated our girls together. We had them together. We obviously dedicated them together in the church. We dedicated our lives to each other, to loving Jesus, to being active in recovery, to support each other's needs and desires. Right, and I support him and all of his dreams and goals and aspirations. And some of them have to do with recovery and some of them don't, right? Because at the end of the day, yeah, we are in recovery, but now we're like just two regular people.
That's not all.
No.
You are.
No.
Your life is
so much more than that.
Defined by addiction or recovery. Thank
no.
God you're, you know, on that journey.
Yeah.
But that still doesn't define who Danny is,
no.
Who Zach is, or who you guys are together.
That's correct.
That's certainly a part of it.
That's right. The biggest advice that I have is love yourself first. Build a solid foundation for yourself. Know what you want in this life. Stop at nothing to get it. And whoever can support you in doing that, then maybe they can join you at the table, right? But if you're in getting into recovery, and it is true, you do need to be selfish. Yeah, it feels good early in recovery to have, you're starting to look good again. You're starting to feel good again, right? And I think that I've seen it so many times that that people start looking good. They start feeling good. People are starting to be attracted to them again. They get in this relationship, you know, that is purely sexual. And that's like the basis of it. That's the foundation of it. They tell you everything you want to hear, right? It's like the same song and dance. And then they leave you again. And so what do you have when that person leaves? That's just traumatizing yourself all over again, right? It's just all the things that you've just worked for. It's like building yourself up only to knock yourself back down. And that's not, you have to learn to love yourself more than that. And I think that was the biggest thing when I was single, and, you know, wanting to be in a relationship, I had to learn to love myself first. And thank goodness I did learn to love myself prior to, you know, Zach and I, finally being able to be together. I was still broken.
You
but
saw the value that you possess, that
exactly.
God had put in you from day one.
That's right.
And so you wanted that respected. And you're
right. Yeah. And I wanted to be that.
You deserve that. Anybody and everybody does.
Yeah.
So what are a couple of cautions that you would give to folks?
I would say that if you're in a relationship in recovery and your partner is bringing you down or not wanting it as much as you are or continuously falling off, I would say don't feel so invested that you throw your own recovery away. If somebody's not ready, they're not ready, and nobody else can force them to be. You know, me and Dania chose to do it together, but it's not going to be like that all the time. So I would say that if that's happening, you have to put yourself first and your recovery first. I'm not saying that you could never be with that person, but make it a point to take care of yourself first and make sure that you're okay. And then if that person decides that they're finally ready, you know, then maybe you guys could try again, but don't allow somebody else to bring you down.
There right. is a scripture that says something like negative morals corrupt good behavior. And that can be from that partner who's living side by side with you. And by negative, I just mean they're not into their own recovery like they thought they were wanted to be.
Sure.
And if you hang with that, as much as I hate to say it, that becomes toxic. And that, I think, is the reason why 10, 12 years ago they were dead set against relational recovery. Because that's what they had looked like. But we've grown since then.
That's
Dan,
true.
You want to add anything to that about the cautions?
Yeah, plain and simply, they will pull you down before you pull them up. So, again, learn who you are, heal. You are worth it. You are worth every bit of time that it takes to heal. And
amen.
Yeah.
And you're so worth it. As we get ready to close here, last comment from each of you. Go ahead, Zach.
Okay. I would just like to say, like I said earlier, put your recovery first. For me, in my recovery, one of the hardest parts was breaking off those relationships because, I made good friends, in all reality, good friends and loyal friends, gangbanging and selling drugs and all this stuff. We struggled together and we was in the trenches together and we was bound by loyalty. But, I still have love for those people. But I just had to learn that it's okay for me to love them from a distance.
Amen.
And that's what it takes for you to recover. And, if that person doesn't accept that, then they don't truly love you. Because if they do and they're your true friend, they're going to want to see you better yourself and want to see you upgrade, and do better.
Exactly. Dania, final words?
We can only keep what we have by giving it away. So whatever you learn, teach the next person so we can keep keep this recovery, growing and growing and growing. Everyone is deserving of recovery. Everyone is deserving of what I have, what Zach has, what we have together. And we love you and you're worth it.
Amen. And this is so obtainable. This is not something that's so extravagant and I don't want us to look like we're on some pedestal. Anybody can obtain this. You just have to want it.
Yeah.
That's all. You just have to desire this more than you desire the drugs.
Yep. That's right.
As simple as that.
Guys, gal, thank you. Dania, Zach, I so appreciate this opportunity and privilege to connect with both you. I feel like we're quickly becoming friends.
We are. I'm good with that.
Yeah. All right? I appreciate it.
We appreciate you.
Yes, we do.
Well, thank you. And Zach, if you ever decide to cut the hair, I want it, all right? I think I'd look pretty good with those.
I think you would, too.
Well, God bless you both. We'll look forward to connecting again. Folks, thanks for tuning in to Faith in Your Recovery and listening to this about relationships. Yeah. We just want to remind you to like, to subscribe. If you ever want to help us out financially, we've got our QR code there. Blessings to you. Hang in there. And above all, stay in the battle. Amen. God bless you and thanks.